Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on prayer was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
We had a person one time that came to our house when we lived in Lamar, Colorado. This has been 25 or more years ago. It's been 30-something years ago. And they went to the Chamber of Commerce and found out where we were, and they came to our house. And this woman came in, and it was the only night I'd had off in over a week. And we were having a family time with our kids. They were real young at that time. And it was the first night we had had off in like 10 days. And this woman came, and we let her come in, and she sat there and just shot the breeze and told us about her dog, told us about things. I'd never seen this woman before in my life. She sat there for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Finally, I said, "So why did you come?" And she said, "Oh, I just wanted to tell people that I'd come and sat in Andrew Womack's living room." You know what? She didn't want me to minister to her. She didn't have anything that she needed. She just wanted to somehow or another. She came for her benefit, not for mine. You know what? That's a wrong attitude. And we can see that in relationships, but God the Father sees that with us, that we come often and we say that we're praying, but the truth is we are just going through our monologue. We've got our agenda. We're going to pray over what we want to pray to. And if God wanted you to pray over something and go do something, you couldn't do it because you hadn't finished your prayer list yet. God can't get a word in edgewise. That's useless. That's religious. Prayer, the way it's being done, is hurting many people's relationship with God. You know, again, when I first got started, I knew that you're supposed to pray. There's scriptures that talk about praying. And some of you think I'm against prayer because I'm countering the wrong use of it first. But I'm not against prayer. I'm just against wrong motives and wrong way of praying. But when I first got turned on to the Lord, I had people say that you ought to pray in tongues an hour a day. And I'm an extremist. You can ask my wife. If an hour a day would be good, I figured 2 or 3 hours a day would be even better. And so I just made a commitment that I was going to pray in tongues at least 2 or 3 hours a day. And I mean for, I don't know, 6 months or a year, I probably prayed in tongues for at least 2 or 3 hours a day. I would set an alarm. And I would go in, and at 7 o'clock, I would start praying. And you know what? I'd pray in tongues, and I'd bind this, and I'd loose this, and I'd walk, and I'd kick, and I'd shout. And I did everything that anybody else has ever done. And I did that, and it was a ritual. I forced myself. I disciplined myself. The very first time I did it, I prayed, and I thought it must have been at least 30 minutes. And I looked at the clock, and I'd been 5 minutes. It took me forever to get to where I could pray 3 or 4 hours at one time. And I mean, there was some benefit to it. One of the benefits was it was a discipline. Rather than watching television or something, at least I was making the approach towards God. And I'm sure that there was some benefit to it. But you know what? It just got to where it was drudgery. It was drudgery. I hated it. And yet I knew I was supposed to be praying. And so I felt bad about not enjoying my prayer time. And one time, I was just talking to the Lord, which was really more prayer than what I did during this prayer time. And I was talking to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I don't mean this bad. I don't want to offend you. But I said, I hate this prayer time. I said, 15 minutes to 7, I get to dreading it. I could be just worshiping you and singing and studying the Word and having a wonderful time, and you're speaking to me, and I just feel like everything's wonderful, and then it comes time I have to go in and pray for 3 hours, and it just bothers me." And I said, "I get to where I start dreading it at 6:45. He says, "Don't feel bad." He says, "I start dreading it at 6. And all of a sudden, my lightning fast mind thought, "You know what? If God dreads this, and if I dread this, why am I doing this?" And I was doing it to fulfill something that I was told that you had to do this. And I just started saying, "Father, I'm not going to pray that way anymore." And I quit praying on cue. That would be like you having your family together. And you know that you need to spend some time together. And everybody goes their own way. They don't even eat meals together. Everybody's doing their homework. Somebody's watching television, but you need some family time together. So you just make a decision that from 7 to 8, every night you're going to fellowship. You know, there's nothing wrong with that technically, but how you enforce it depends on everything. You can't make that happen. And if you know, your kid's on the phone talking to their best friend, another one who's watching a show that's not going to be over until 8:30, and you want to, from 7 to 8 is your family time, and all of a sudden you go in and stop that, get off the computer, turn off this television, hang up, do it now. And if they don't do it, you punish them. And all right, 3, 2, 1, fellowship. You know what? If you do that, you would ruin your family. Now, there's nothing wrong with you having a time set aside for family, but you got to be a little more flexible than that. If somebody comes to the door, don't just slam the door in their face and be rude to them because you're fellowshipping with God. I was at one of these services one time, and Jamie and I used to do everything. Jamie would get up and lead the singing, and I would be at the back. This is when I was on radio, and people didn't know what I looked like. And I just wouldn't say anything. And I'd be at the back running the sound system, and Jamie would be up here, and everybody would be wondering, I wonder where Andrew is. And I was at the back watching them. And I remember this one woman who was just sitting there during the praise and worship, and she sat her hands up just glorifying God and was crying and supposedly in fellowship with God, and her little girl was pulling on her skirt. Mama, 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 and she was ignoring her. And this kid just kept pulling on her skirt, and finally I was sitting right behind him running the sound, and this woman just turns around and slaps her little girl across her face and says, shut up, kid, I'm praising God. She went back like this. And I thought, boy, a lot of good you're praising God's doing. You know what? If you have to slap your kid in the face and tell him to shut up so that you can praise God, you ought to quit praising God. If you have to be rude to somebody and spank your kids to make them fellowship with God, you know what? Something's not working. And yet this is the way religion teaches us. It's just formalism. You go through rituals. Prayer to most people is a ritual. You wouldn't recognize God if he was to come up and shake your hand, introduce himself to you. And you can do that not only with prayer, you can do that with anything. One time I was reading the Bible. And you know, I had a schedule I was going through where I read the Bible through twice every year. And I got behind one day, and so I had like 10 chapters to read. And one of them was, I think, Psalms 119 that has 168 verses in it. And man, I had a lot of ground to cover in a short period of time. But I had this little ritual that I went through about, oh God, speak to me as I study your word. And anyway, I started reading, and on like the second verse, God started speaking something to me, and I was getting revelation from something, and I was beginning to really enjoy it. And I just kind of put the Bible down, and I was meditating on what God said. And then it dawned on me that I still had 10 chapters to read, and I just threw that thought away, and I went back to reading scripture. And the Lord spoke to me, and he says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm studying the word. And he says, why do you study the word? And I said, so you can speak to me. And then it went quiet. And I got to thinking about that. You know, the reason I'm reading the Bible is so that God could speak to me. But he started speaking to me. And in effect, what I said was, God, don't bother me. I got 10 chapters of the Bible to read. What about my daily Bible readings? You know, the goal of prayer isn't to pray an hour. The goal of prayer isn't to go through your prayer list. The goal of prayer isn't to soothe your conscience or make you look good in the sight of other people. The goal of prayer is so that you could communicate with God and that God could talk to you. And if, before you even get through your Hail Marys, God speaks to you, you ought to talk to him. You ought to let him speak. Isn't that a novel idea? I know some of you think I'm mad at people, and I'm just trying to expose it. Brothers and sisters, we got so many religious traditions. It's a miracle that we ever contact God. It's all screwed up. In verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Boy, this is another big one. He goes on to say, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. The heathen have chants that they quote. If you go into a Muslim mosque, they're all singing the same chant and they're all doing it. It's a vain repetition as a heathen does. It is not Christianity. It's not true. Reciting your Hail Marys, going through Our Fathers, is vain repetition that is completely against everything Jesus is teaching. There is zero value to it. Was that too subtle? Anybody miss that? I know many of you don't like this, but I'm telling you the truth. That's a religious tradition. And you know what another religious tradition is? Down in verse 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. To recite that as a prayer is totally missing everything that the Lord intended. The context, he says right here, don't use vain repetition. Repetition means don't say the same thing over and over. God never intended for this prayer to be prayed and chanted or prayed in unison. It's a model. It would be more appropriate to call this a model prayer. He's showing you, like it says in Psalms 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So the first thing you do is praise him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He doesn't want you to say those words. He wants you to start praising him. You enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You pray for his will to be done here on earth the way that it is in heaven. People have prayed that a million times and then they'll turn right around and say, well, I think that God gave me this sickness to teach me something.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, the things that I'm sharing are just like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to this, and that's the reason we have our website. That's the reason we have all this product that we're advertising. But you know, really, the very best way I have for you to get established in this is our Charis Bible College. And I know that some people think, well, I can't move and come there. Well, you know, probably more of you could do it than what you think. But even if you can't come here, we have different Bible colleges spread throughout the United States and other countries. We have distance learning, video correspondence course. We're in the process of establishing it over the internet. There's a lot of ways you can take advantage of it, so please call and inquire about our Charis Bible Colleges.